This is the United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. On this week's episode, we're going to hear from Liz Halliday, who recently placed second at the Red Hills CIC three-star event. Liz has been based in Ocala, Florida this winter. But first, Chris Donovan, who is the Area 2 Coordinator for the Young Rider Advancement Program, tells us what's new with the program and begins by explaining what it's all about.
Young Rider Advancement Program is a subchapter of the USEA Young Rider Program that's managed by each area individually. It focuses on everything that is not related to going to the North American Junior Young Rider Championships.
Tell us how it's structured. Give us the roadmap, if you will, for it.
Sure. So in 2008, the USEA board established the program. It's run for training and below riders at a cost of $50, and for riders going prelim and above that are young riders, they pay $75. That money goes directly to the area with no discount being held back by the federal office. For Area 2, we focus on three areas: education, teams, and support in helping a person pick their future with horses and keeping them engaged in the event, eventing world.
So it's very similar in some ways then to the Pony Club.
Very similar, and we work very closely with Pony Club. Pony Club has the horsemanship and ratings or, you know, grade levels. We don't have any of that specific functions. Our education is usually focused on riding or in the rules of the sport. And horse management when it comes to like conditioning and clinics around the sport.
Now, what is the entry level for this then, Chris? What age group are you targeting?
Those that are competing or plan to be competing at the recognized level through the end of their 21st birthday, the year in which they turn 21. So we follow the young rider age group. I have kids as young as 7 who are actively engaged. They compete on teams appropriate to their level and often do the behind-the-scenes activities that we offer, such as sitting with a dressage judge or helping build show jumping.
Well, let's talk about the season that kicked off on the East Coast with the cross-border challenge at Sporting Days Horse Trials in Aiken in South Carolina there. Tell us about that event.
So what we do in the beginning of the year is we host the first competition where we encourage young riders from more than one area to participate. Aiken happens to be a destination facility for young riders in Area 2. Often we'll head south over spring break or winter break to compete in Aiken. So we had well over 80 kids competing, both from Area 2 as well as all the areas represented except for California, Arizona, and Washington. And we put the kids on teams. And they got to meet each other and compete for additional awards as a way of building camaraderie among the young riders.
So how many riders did you have then in total that time for that event?
The total number of competitors at Sporting Days was well over 300. Approximately 88 or so were young riders, and 40 of those were from Area 2 alone.
So give us a sense of how the event unfolded, how you structure that then to integrate it to the event.
So in addition to the regular activities at the event, we encouraged the kids to form their own team. So there were emails that went out to all the competitors who were signed up to pick teammates, and if they hadn't, we scrambled them on teams based on area first. In the case of Sporting Days, they ran prelim and training on one day and beginner novice and novice on another. So we had two team competitions that were organized. And at the end of each day, we gave out team awards and the kids came as a group to pick up their ribbons.
Give us an idea then of what other events there are that you're integrating this program and how people can get involved.
The next cross-border challenge is Millbrook, which is in the summer in Area 1. Within Area 2, we have 7 individual competitions where we'll give out awards to individual members of the program, and then 2 more team competitions planned, including the Wiradjuri 3-day, and in October is the final team competition. And to get involved, they can sign up through the national office when they renew their membership, or go to the portal and sign up for their Young Rider program. In addition to the team competition, it's important to point out that we are a clearinghouse for information. So things like clinics being held by ICP instructors in the area, and working student opportunities for the summer. We have lists full of this information that we send to our members so that they can keep informed and keep engaged in the sport.
And the cost, as you mentioned earlier, is $50, is it, to be involved with the program?
$50 if they're competing at the training level or below, and $75 if they compete at the preliminary level or above.
And they can find more information on the website, Chris. Is there anything else you would like to share with us about the program?
It's a blast and a great opportunity for the kids to meet. So thank you for the opportunity to fill you in on the Young Rider Advancement Program.
And you can find more details on the website at useventing.com. Liz Halliday is originally from California, but she's been based in the UK for quite a while, until this winter, when she decided to buy a property in Ocala, Florida, and base her top horses with her here for 6 months of the year. This spring, she's campaigning to make her debut at the Rolex Kentucky 3-day event, and she got off to a good start by finishing runner-up at the Red Hills CIC 3-star event last week. Liz, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Well, congratulations on your second place there at the Red Hills CIC 3-star. That really put a stamp on the start of your season, didn't it?
Yeah, no, it's been a great start, and I was really, really pleased with the horse. He's a horse that had a little bit of time off and last year, and he's sort of come back, and it was his first international that he's done since, I suppose, last April. So I was thrilled with him. He really tried hard and sort of gave me everything he could.
Well, those of us in the south of the country have been watching you get ready for this season, and the fact that you moved over from your UK base to train here as an American, this clearly was a good move for you because it's enabled you to train through the winter in a way that you haven't done before. But just give us a little bit of background as to why you decided to do this at this point of your career and put aside your other career of motor racing.
Well, I suppose, I mean, I've been gone for a really long time. I've pretty much spent my whole adult life in Britain, which is really a weird thought. But I sort of, when I got my horses kind of going well, the 2 good horses I've got now, and I made the list about a year ago for the first time, the training list, I sort of started to think that I really needed to sort of reacquaint myself with the USA and put myself out there in front of everybody, because the reality is that when you're over there, no matter what you're doing, I don't think anyone really knows you exist, which is kind of a weird way to be. But so that was kind of my plan, is if I could make it work, bring over some sale horses. I'm sort of starting the new business with Richard Shane from Cooley Sport Horses to bring over some good Cooley horses every year. And I thought if I could make that work, then I could sort of financially make it work to stay and bring my good horses. And so far that's gone really well, which is kind of a relief.
Well, let's set this piece up then, Liz. Who did you bring over of your competition horses, and how many of the others were sales horses?
I brought over HHF Cooley, who's my lovely grey horse that finished 2nd in the 3-star at the weekend. Fernhill by Night, who is also a super horse. He's a very different horse to Cooley, but he's coming along, and I'm aiming him for Rolex, and he won the Pine Top Advance. And I brought a horse called Cooley Elusive, which is a nice 8-year-old this year. He's a 1-star horse that sadly we had some trouble with a farrier landing him a while back, and we sort of struggled away with that, but he'll be fine. He's a lovely horse. And then I had some sale horses with me too, and which are actually all sold and gone. So that's very exciting.
So that leaves you with, 3 to ride each day then?
I've actually got four because I had another horse I was planning to sell. I was kind of up in the air if I'd sell him or not. And sadly, he put his foot in a hole the first week we were here, which is just super bad luck, and injured himself. So he'll be, he's just hacking now, and we'll find a home for him here and leave him here until I'm back next year, hopefully. But so yeah, we've got literally like sort of two that are working and two that are kind of on their way back. And so I've a little thin on the ground, which is why I'm trying to ride some other stuff and ride whatever's up and going around Ocala.
Right. Well, let's set the scene for us. You have bought a property in Ocala where you could base yourself and have room for some visitors as well.
Yeah, we got really lucky in 2013. We were hoping to sort of invest in a property that we could hang on to for the future while Ocala kind of gets bigger and better. And we found a great place that we were lucky enough to buy from the bank. So it was an incredible deal with beautiful barns and a great house. It's got a 22-stall barn, which we're currently renting to Will Coleman, and also a 14-stall barn, which is the one that we're using ourselves. And it's a great property. It's got some arenas. We've got 110 acres. We're very, very lucky. It needed a bit of work. It was kind of forgotten for a while, but it's really fun to be able to come and base ourselves over here and sort of say, wow, you know, this is our place to work on for the future. So that's really exciting.
So how long are you planning to stay here then before you return to the UK, Liz?
Well, we're kind of playing with some ideas. Originally, we were going to try and go home after Rolex. And I think the plan now is to maybe stay through the Jersey 3-star. I'd really like a shot at least trying to qualify for the Pan Am Games and have a go for that. That would be a good goal, really, for the year. So just trying to keep everything heading the right way. I hate over-planning. I'm really kind of superstitious like that. I get kind of nervous when I'm saying we're going to do this and that. But certainly that is the plan at the moment. So we've got another 2 months in the States, which is cool.
Well, this is a very different preparation for you, Liz, isn't it, for the season? How has it felt for you and working the horses in a obviously kinder climate than you would have in Europe?
It's been kind of tough, really, to change everything you know. And, you know, we had kind of everyone lined up at home, and I had a way that I did things every year. And we usually worked up to go to Portugal sort of at the end of February, sort of what we normally did in Europe for a couple of weeks. And it was kind of crazy to come over here. I had a lot of little issues with just new farriers and new vets and new surfaces and really different ground. And I think I maybe a little bit took that for granted before I came. But I feel like after a month or two, we kind of got ourselves settled in and got the wheels back on the cart, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But it was crazy to be eventing at the first week of January. I mean, that just felt totally foreign. I was sort of panicking at Christmas time going, oh my God, I'm actually eventing in like 2 weeks. What do I do? So that was kind of a weird experience. But in a way, it's been great for my horses to get enough runs in to get them, you know, ready for some big competitions in the spring, because certainly to prepare for Rolex in England is very difficult. You can sometimes only get one run in before going over because it's so wet over there. So from that side, it's been great because the horses are getting some real runs in and some real preparation. So, and it's been fun to be competing in the U.S. again. I mean, I've never competed on the East Coast my entire life, which seems crazy, but it's been really, really fun and getting to know people and checking it out and trying something new.
And how have the horses adjusted?
They love it, to be honest. The horses absolutely love it here. I mean, in England, it's so wet in the winter, and we're on clay over at our place. So really, the horses almost don't get on grass turnout from November until nearly March, which is really horrible. And we put in some wood chip paddocks at our place in England last year just so they could get out of the barn. But certainly here, I mean, I've got some horses that live out at night, and they absolutely love it. You know, it's not muddy ever. So it's fantastic from that standpoint. There's obviously a few adjustments, you know, some skin stuff that horses get in Florida, and the heat is obviously something that's taken them time to get comfortable with. But for the most part, they're very happy horses, and I think it's something they've really enjoyed.
So they've been subjected to the Florida funk, as they call it, haven't they?
Yeah. Yeah. Only a little bit. You know, we've not had a touch wood. We've not had a huge problem with it, but we've certainly had a few little skin issues here and there. And we knew about it before we came, so we came prepared to fight it, which
All
we
right.
started
so
right from the beginning,
your,
and I think that's helped.
What was your secret cure for that then, Liz?
I've got a great sponsor called Botanica, and they do like a wash. It's sort of a herbal wash, which works really, really well on any skin problems. So we sort of, from the minute we got here, we were hot ragging them down with Botanica every time they came out of the field, and you know, really making sure we looked after their legs and got them clean and dry. Also, my vet does some sort of his own cool little concoction that's a legal treatment for skin and grazes and stuff that we use on them, and that seems to fight it. So we sort of came with our arsenal from Britain. I think it's worked pretty well.
Well, I know that Katie Coleman there has another secret recipe which involves apple cider vinegar that seems to work too.
Oh, right. Okay. Oh, yeah. That's good to know. I have heard that vinegar works well. It changes the pH, doesn't it? Seems to work.
Something like
so
that.
So I'll have to ask her about that.
Absolutely. Well, let's look at the sort of competition community and the environment, if you will, and the differences between starting the season off amongst people that you know in the UK, as opposed to this sort of new friends and new community that you've built here, and the level of competition. Give us some sense of how that has felt for you.
It's been really weird. I mean, I felt like a foreigner in my own country, which is very strange because I know the community in Britain really well now, and I feel like I'm kind of a part of that. So it was definitely different. I remember someone said to me, I was at Pine Top about to warm up for the show and jumping. She said, "Oh, you must be Liz. I know that because you're the only person I don't recognize," which I thought was quite funny. And I thought that just shows how tight this community is here, that everyone knows each other and, you know, all the same people go to the same places every year. And so that's been tough. Obviously, I don't know any of the events at all. Whereas in England, I kind of have my plan. I know where I'm going and I know what to expect. So here it's been sort of asking questions and asking people what the ground's like and what the courses are like and kind of just winging it, which is okay. I think sometimes that's fun. It adds a little edge to things and gets you on your game. It's been great to get to know a lot of the high-performance riders better because I feel like I only knew the ones that had come over to Europe or maybe that I'd met at the convention. So that's been really fun. And there's a lot of great people out here, a lot of camaraderie and, you know, some just a great sort of happy attitude about eventing. And that's been really cool. I've enjoyed sort of being a part of America again, something I've missed.
Now, what about the actual training there? As you said, you're on the winter list, the USEF's winter training list there, so you have the opportunity to get instruction from David O'Connor. How has that been in terms of your development as a rider, as well as the horse's training? And the results, obviously, are showing in competition. But in terms of the training, give us some idea of, Liz, what that's meant to you.
I mean, that's been amazing. I always felt, being in Britain, we kind of only got to see David every once in a while, if at all, if we're lucky, outside of the competition. So from that side, it's been amazing. I mean, we're only about 20 minutes from David, so we go over there a fair bit. We've obviously had all the Ocala training sessions themselves, and just to be able to pick up and go and have lessons with him all the time is fantastic. We obviously get to use their hill there, their turf gallop hill, which is super. So my horses are used to galloping on hills in England, so I didn't really want to step away from that. So it's been great. We have that opportunity. And just there's a lot of other, you know, great people around. I've trained with Richard Picken a bit more lately at Southern Cross, and they've got a fabulous arena with really big flashy jumps. And I've started doing a bit of jumping with him, and that's been super for me. And I think it's just such a tight community in Ocala that you have a lot of opportunity to go places and do different things that maybe wouldn't have been as easy over in England, believe it or not. So, yeah, it's just been good to get to know all of our, you know, all of our coaches and selectors and everyone a bit better than I would have hiding away in England.
And what have been the differences in the training techniques over here, Liz?
I wouldn't say there's anything hugely different. I mean, I have trained with David before, so I kind of knew the way he did things, which has always worked well for me. I have a lot of respect for him as a coach. I think he has great ideas and he's fantastic on the flat. So from that side, it's kind of just been getting further into what we've worked on before and giving him a chance to know my top horses a bit better. And then Richard himself is British, so that's kind of fun. And he's a very, very clever jockey and just sort of pushing me a little bit harder and making me think more about how I ride my horses and how I'm training them and what I'm doing in my training. And I think that's what a lot of us need because you get kind of settled into your own ways and you can get stuck in your own habits a little bit. And I think being able to have a bunch of lessons kind of pulls you out of that, makes you think outside the box a bit more. And just having more lessons all the time has done that for me.
Now, we've started the season, obviously, very well for you here, and you've obviously got all the conditions that you need for the best possible opportunities to get these horses going to a three-star and a four-star. This will be your first four-star, will it, if you get to Rolex?
Yeah, well, it's kind of weird because I feel like I've been ready to do a four-star for about 10 years, but I've never really had the right horses, and I had a really cool little crazy chestnut horse for a lot of years that was never really sound enough for the job, and I always believed that he would break on course if I took him around the four-star. So even though his mind was willing, I don't think his body was. So it was a matter of just sort of waiting to develop some more horses up to that level to have the shot at it. And I feel like, you know, my horses are ready, and I have a lot of belief in Blackie, who's Fernhill by Night. He's a great horse, and it's taken a long time to get him sort of solidified at each level. But I feel like he's ready for that challenge now, and I definitely feel ready myself, and really looking forward to it. I just, you know, I just have to get there now. I think every rider, once they've entered, sort of stressing out, just want to get there. And I think I won't believe it's happened until I've done the trot up and I'm through and allowed to start dressage.
Well, obviously that will be a big occasion for you. But the rest of the journey on the way then for you looks like what, Liz?
Well, I'm heading off to Carolina International next week. So that'll be fun. Another event that I've never done. So I'm looking forward to that. And then after that, we'll be aiming for the Fork as well. And then it's on to Rolex from there, really. And I'm hoping to get my younger horse up and running again. I think we've finally gotten to the bottom of our unfortunate farrier issue and stuff. And I found a great farrier here now. And so that's fantastic. So I'm hoping if I can get him pulled together, he'll maybe run the Ocala event in April. But our main focus, obviously, is Rolex and possibly Jersey. So just kind of, you know, you're only as good as your last event. So I've just got to keep working hard and keep the results coming in and keep the horses in one piece and all those things that go together mixed with a bit of luck.
Well, we know that a warmer climate bodes better, obviously, for the horses and also for rider fitness as well. Have you felt that your preparation for the start of the season has been any different? Have you had new opportunities for your own fitness?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I've been able to do a bit of running and go to the gym and, you know, various things like that. I prefer riding, like I'm sure most people do. So I'm actually going to do a little bit of riding for Buck Davidson, who's going down the road for me. And he very kindly said he could throw me on a few horses. So, because I've never had so few horses to ride now that I've sold all of mine. And it's different for us in Europe because I've got a few there waiting to produce for the next season to sell. And it's very easy over there, but I'm sort of sitting around thinking, well, now I'm in America and what do I do now? I can't just fly a few over and fly them back. So from that side of it, it's been a little bit challenging, but I think if I can just sit on a few extra horses, I think I'll be fit enough. And certainly we've done a lot with our horses, probably more than we would have at this stage in England. And, you know, we're not being held back by the weather and that sort of side of things. So the horses feel pretty good in themselves. They feel really fit, actually, for where they're at in the year. And I think that's a lot of that's just that we've been able to keep going and doing what we need to do without any setbacks.
So you return to England for the summer then. Will that be a busy summer for you? And when do you plan to come back here?
Yeah, I think it will be a busy summer. You know, Richard and I are working hard to produce some more horses just to bring over here and sell next year. So we'll be working hard on that. And I've got a few young ones out there already. And then our plan would be to come back over probably in November, like we did this year, and I'd like to spend 6 months each year just split between the two. Obviously, that relies on me being able to sell some good horses and that sort of thing. But I think that, you know, we're producing the right horses and we try really hard to bring real quality here. And I hope that that starts to shine through and people look forward to what we're going to bring each year. That's kind of the plan, is we want to sell good horses, honestly, and, you know, have the right thing coming over to the States in real quality that perhaps someone won't have to get on a plane and fly to Ireland to find.
Well, I mentioned earlier that you set aside your other career in motor racing. I mean, obviously, it was hard juggling the two when you were, but you decided to prioritize on eventing. So tell us what your goals are and if you think you will return to motor racing or now you've really decided that you want to be an eventer for the rest of your life.
Oh, I mean, look, racing's in my blood. I love it. And my dad was a race car driver and he taught me to race, and it's a sport that I truly, truly love, and I miss it a lot. I mean, it was not an easy decision to step away from it. But it is a lot of money and it's difficult to find sponsors, especially since the economy kind of crashed a few years ago. It's made it even harder. And I think it was just time to focus on one sport. You know, once I got the chance to be on the list and get more training, and I sort of sat back and said, well, I've got two really good horses now, and that doesn't always happen in your life to have two at the same time that are good and capable horses. And I just thought, now's my shot to work hard and hopefully make a team and keep fighting for what I always wanted in this sport. So I think it was the right choice. But for sure, I will return to motorsport. I'm not prepared to give that up forever. It's not something you can just walk away from after all those years.
Right, but for now, the main goal is to get on that team and fly the US flag, and that must be obviously a lifetime goal, mustn't it, for you?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Ever since I started riding when I was a kid, that's been what I wanted to do, and I think it's. I have a great opportunity right now and a lot of great supporters and sponsors, and it's my sort of shot to really fight for it. So I think what I don't want to do is wake up one day when I'm a lot older and say, oh, what if? What if I just tried hard and put everything into it? So no matter what happens, at least I can sit back and say I did my best.
Well, you certainly got off to a good start here this season, Liz. The very best of luck with the rest of the campaign up to Rolex and Jersey Fresh.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
And we'll be hearing from some of the other Rolex rookies in the lead up to this year's event. The entries for this year's event, which takes place from April 23rd through the 26th, are already on the website at rk3de.org. This podcast is available for download from the iTunes podcast store to your smartphone podcast app, so you can listen to the show on the go. Until next week, thanks for your company and enjoy your eventing.